Welcome to the 75th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Over the past few episodes, I have been interviewing people on their plant-based journey to weight loss and getting back into being healthy. Today's interview is a journey of a chef. This interview is with Matthew Kenny. And he is a world-renowned chef, starting in New York City, opening his first restaurant way back in the late 80s. At a very young age, he went to culinary school and was French-trained. He started in Maine, more of a traditional, you know, Maine-type existence, hunting, fishing, living garden. His family had a garden. He loved to cook. He loved good food. He loved the outdoors. He loved to be in shape. But quickly fell in love with the New York City lifestyle and restaurants. He remained health conscious through all of this, and over time, his palate evolved and his passion evolved, and he was given the opportunity, or, you know, as fate may have it, the ability to open up a raw food restaurant. As the story goes, a friend of his took him out to dinner and to a raw food restaurant. He didn't think he would like it. He did. He felt amazing. And then the creativity ideas started, and he was on a mission to open plant-based and raw cuisine restaurants. And so many years have passed. Many books have passed. He's written 11 books. There's another one on the way. They're very good cookbooks. He also has opened up a culinary school in three locations in California, Maine, Texas, and in Thailand. He's starting a wellness center and a wellness experience in Thailand. I'll leave all the website or all the information for that. But he's truly following his passion for a healthy lifestyle and how to promote food as not only beautiful cuisine, but healthy cuisine. And as we know, we're all kind of in this together, and all believe that, because no one's going to eat healthy if it doesn't taste good. And often in my office, you know, I see the look of panic on people's face when I talk about whole food, plant-based nutrition. And the first thing that comes up is, you know, raw carrots and celery and lettuce and never having a good meal again. And it's just not that way, as we've talked, but you have to see it to believe it. And, you know, there's many ways into this journey, and there's many steps. And it is a journey, and there are steps. And I think there are also steps forward and steps backward. But the more you can incorporate whole foods, plants into your life, the better. And how it all shakes out in the end, you know, that's up to you. Certainly, you know, the most healthy diet is the most the diet that most closely represents whole foods and, you know, minimally processed. And this is where this raw foods kind of takes us back a little bit, because it does take things back to more of their natural state, and you start to experience the flavors of the food. It looks like it's going to be really light, not much to it, but it's really filling. I've experimented with his books over the last couple of weeks. The one book that I've been using is Raw Food, Real World. And the other one that I've been looking at is Everyday Raw. But he has many cookbooks. And, you know, we talk a little bit during the interview about, you know, how to go about starting in getting more into raw foods and, you know, what it entails. And certainly he's not 100% raw. You know, I don't think you need to be. I think you can, again, it just opens the variety of different ways to eat plant food that makes it exciting. So just like different cuisines as far as Indian, Italian, and Thai, now you could add raw foods to your repertoire to make things exciting. And, you know, and the presentation of it is very pretty. I've posted some on Instagram. But, you know, the foods in their natural states are very vibrant. And so it's a fun way to work with things. You can be as simple as you want with a smoothie. in a salad, all the way up to making, dehydrating and soaking and making fillings with nuts and seeds and going all out. So, you can experiment. I found that, experimenting with some of these more complicated recipes on the weekend is better for me. And during the week, we do a fair amount of cooked meals, or maybe one raw meal that I've had a couple days to kind of get a handle on. So anyway, that's kind of where the interview is going to take us. Before we get there, I just want to reemphasize that I know it gets really confusing when people start talking about nuts and seeds and whether to do it or whether not to do it. I had an email with a listener that was concerned because she can't tolerate a lot of beans and a lot of onions, and she knows that with Dr. Furman, the G-bombs are very important. But not everybody tolerates everything, and not everybody likes everything. And there certainly are food allergies. People truly do have intolerances. So even with fasting, come back and still have the food intolerances. So you have to go with what you've got. But just because you're missing one of the, important, there's so many different ways around getting antioxidants. If you just look at the colors of food, and if you can't tolerate one particular color, or if you can't do berries, if you don't like raspberries, try blueberries or different kinds of berries. If you don't like zucchini, try squash, or try some other different, try eggplant. So you can go around the barn in a lot of different ways. And as long as you're eating whole plant food and not processed, and things don't have chemicals in them, and things don't have a lot of oil in them, I don't think you can go wrong. And you just kind of, so to speak, have to do what you got to do to get where you're going. A few weeks ago, I interviewed Tim Kaufman, and he has a website called fatmanrants.com. And he posts some great, great food that he's been making that's, real simple. Josh LaJohnny, they post some really good simple foods. But Tim posted a great meatball this week, where he took rice and equal parts of vegetables, and corn and peppers and beans, and mixed it together and made a meatball and put hot sauce on it, and it looked fabulous. So there's all the way, from, comfort foods like meatballs, BLTs that you can, make with tempeh, all the way down to eating raw foods and, beet ravioli, or tomato and zucchini, raw tomato and zucchini lasagna. So there's a variety of things that you can do. Just have to have fun experimenting. And I would encourage you to go on Instagram and look at some people's plant, you can Google plant nutrition or search plant nutrition and, some raw foods and some different cuisines. You'll see some really good dishes and some really good smoothies that you can try. It certainly beats, you see some of these posts where they put, start with pouring oil into a pan and then dumping eggs into a pan, and it just drives me insane. So it's so pretty to see these whole food recipes that people are posting, in the plant world. And I think the more you see of that, the more you'll be able to kind of stick with things. Before we get into looking at, again, I'm going to go back to the nut things. And, I did some research and pulled up some of Dr. Furman's research, but there are a lot of studies that are in very well respected journals that look at nuts and their ability to decrease tumors and the antioxidants and lower cholesterol, improve diabetes control, improve satiety, so people don't eat quite so much, improve markers for insulin resistance in the pre-diabetic. So I think that as long as you're eating nuts and seeds as a part of your food and not just snacking incessantly on them, for the most part, you're going to be okay. And I have to say, with this raw cuisine, you don't eat more than that 2 to 3 ounces of nuts a day, because it's so filling that, you're very comfortable and full. And if anything, you eat less overall. So I would encourage you to give this a shot if you're interested. I'd also encourage you to get your cholesterol checked. And if you do have a change in some of your biomarkers, I would appreciate a call. Or an email, I guess. But I would also appreciate if you would, you know, keep a diary. You know, sometimes we get confused about what might be causing the problem. So if all of a sudden you're eating out a lot and you start to blame the nuts, but it's really the oil you're getting in and eating out, it might not be, might not be the nuts that's causing the problem. So keep a food diary, get your biomarkers checked and see how things go. There was a great study that Dr. Greger posted on his website, nutritionfacts.org, that looked at olive oil versus nuts, and people that consumed olive oil, they could see their blood vessels constrict when they do the vasoreactivity test with the blood pressure cuff and the blood flow through the brachial artery. But when people eat nuts, they didn't see that, and it was actually more of a protective effect. So nuts are certainly different than oil, and mainly because of the fiber and the ligands and all the different things that are preserved when you keep the nuts. And the reason for the soaking and the drying in these raw food recipes is to activate enzymes. Nuts are coated and they're dormant, so that their enzymes are dormant until you soak them, and then they become active. And so you soak the nuts, and then you can dehydrate them or dry them again so that you can store them. But those enzymes are active, and they do taste a whole lot better when you do that. So, you know, that's the reason for, you know, soaking the nuts. The other thing is, you know, with some of the beans, lentils and mung beans, you know, try sprouting them. They're wonderful on a salad. You know, if you live in a great area like California, or a place, you know, where you have a farmer's market that are sprouts, you can enjoy, you know, some of the sprouted things that they have already. But it is really easy to sprout mung beans in a jar or a little sprouting container to have on your salad. That's going to add extra punch and extra kick to your salad, extra nutrients. So I would encourage you to do that. And, I would encourage you to soak your nuts and, you know, when you add them to things, so that your enzymes and you get more nutrients, more bang for your buck. So, you know, and that, and the other thing as far as eating the raw uncooked foods, you know, we know that some foods like tomato, some of the nutrients are actually released by cooking, but a lot of the green leafies, vegetables, onions, peppers, you know, you get a lot of nutrients and their enzymes are all active without cooking in the cruciferous vegetables. So eating some of those raw every day is really important. And I like Dr. Greger's little tidbit that add a little bit of red cabbage to your salad every day. So whether I'm making a spring roll or making just an everyday salad, I just chop off a wedge of red cabbage that I keep in the drawer or in the fridge and put that, you know, include that in my food because that purple color is so rich in antioxidants and nutrients. So you want to include that every day. So if you can just look to see every day that you're adding a little bit more nutrients to your diet and kind of choose your breakfast wisely, choose your lunch wisely, how many nutrients am I getting? I don't think you can go wrong. So give it a shot and, check out some different cuisines, share them with your friends. Again, it can be a lot of fun doing that. On an endurance standpoint, just back into the grind of everyday training, running several days a week, biking a couple days a week, and swimming a couple days a week. So I'm enjoying that. Gradually ramp up to get to Ironman distance for the fall. So far, so good. It's kind of nice this time of year, no pressure. So I enjoy going out for my runs with the dogs and Sunday bike rides. So it's a lot of fun. And from a garden standpoint, it's starting to get hot in Florida and starting to get dry in Florida. So we're having to do a little watering. But I do have okra coming up. I still have tomatoes. Herbs are doing well. And that's another great thing. You know, it's so fun to prepare these dishes when you can go out in the garden and get the basil or get the thyme, rosemary, oregano. And it makes the flavors just pop so much in these dishes. So You know, anybody can put herbs on their pot, windowsill, wherever you live, and it's a great addition to your food, and it'll make things much more tasty, and it'll help you get out of that mode of, you know, needing salt and oil on everything. So get yourself a pot and a little basil, a little oregano, a little thyme, a little rosemary. It doesn't take much. A couple pots on the windowsill, and you can do it. So I think we'll get on to the interview. So without further ado, here's Matthew Kinney. Welcome, Matthew Kinney. Matthew is a world-renowned chef, originally trained in French cuisine. He is the owner of multiple restaurants throughout the world, as well as culinary schools. I first heard Matthew interviewed on Rich Roll podcast and was quite interested in his transition from French cuisine into a raw food lifestyle. So many of my patients, when they're first transitioning into plant food, or a whole food plant-based diet, they're so worried that they're going to just be eating carrots and celery. So this is a great way to introduce the wonderful world of raw food cuisine. So thank you very much, Matthew Kinney, for taking my call.
My pleasure. So nice to be here.
So Matthew, you started out in New York City, and you were a traditional chef and owned restaurants, but you became healthy first, is that correct? And then you decided, or you were very health conscious, and then you decided to look more into cooking more health conscious.
Well, I was always into health and wellness, even from my teenage years. I really, you know, used to get up before high school and go to the gym in the morning. I was very athletic, and I used to make my own meals when I was in high school and college. I kind of followed the Pritikin diet, and I just was always connected to the way I would, you know, the positive effects of nutrition and eating well. And of course, I didn't have all that much information because of when that was, but also being in high school. And then I became a chef, learned to do things that chefs do, which is adding more salt and adding more butter and more sugar and so forth. But eventually I was able to bring my passion for wellness together with my passion for culinary art and use those skills that I had as a chef to make food healthy. So it was a long process, but really, you know, like a lot of things, took many years of different experiences before I could make that full connection.
Well, when you opened up your first restaurant in New York City, I mean, it was a bit of a leap of faith to, with all the competition and everything that goes on in New York City to say, okay, we're going to try all raw restaurant.
It was a big leap of faith, but I've always really tried to operate on decisions based on what I'm passionate about, as long as it comes with some sensibility attached to it. I really did see, when I first went to a raw food restaurant, I really did have a light bulb moment where I thought, this is the food that's going to be defining our future. There should not be this degree of separation between how we eat and how we, you know, and good health. And I just thought the two belong together, and I believed it would happen. And I did absolutely take that leap of faith and just go for it.
You know, now you're the author of multiple wonderful cookbooks. And I have to say that I've the one that I've been using, Raw Food, Real World, I've tried several of the recipes, kind of working my way through that one. You know, they're wonderful. They're well. The directions are there for the layperson, I should say. I've been able to follow them. The only thing that I can say is, I've started to experience what my patients experience, is that there has to be some thought that goes into it. So how would you describe, or how would you suggest people start out, perhaps?
Well, you know, everything we do and everything that I recommend to people is based on three things. It starts with ingredients, no matter where you are in the world. Identify where the best ingredients come from in your region, whether it's the market, whether it's Whole Foods or some other gourmet store, or ideally being grown in your backyard, but really connect with seasonal, local, ideally organic, high-quality plants. And from there, apply the tools and skills that you have at your level. And if your level is a beginner, make a great salad with some different colors in it, and do it once a week and see how you feel. Just take a mental monitor of your body and how you feel. And that's how it happened for me too. Even though I was a trained chef, I didn't really know how to make healthy vegan food, but I did it at home one or two days, took a really good mental note of how I felt, went back to my regular diet, and soon enough, the rest took care of itself. I just understood this is the way I wanted to go, and I started to immerse myself in cookbooks and websites to teach myself. But I think baby steps, really just buying very high quality plants and doing as little as possible to them initially, and then, you know, as you get comfortable, do more.
So in the raw food arena, you know, as I've been experiencing things, you know, typically when I have people, and I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Furman's book and some of the doctors that have plant-based cookbook suggestions, but, you know, there's always this background of beans, greens, and a starch. And this takes it a little different step. We kind of lose the beans except for sprouting some, and you start adding more nuts to the cuisine. And I have to, I made the first dish I made, you know, and I jump off the end of the dock myself. I decided to make your beet ravioli for guests. And so I spent, you know, the better part of, you know, getting all the prep done. And I was worried that, you know, we're all endurance athletes, the people that I hang out with, you know, so people bike 50, 100 miles a day or do long runs. And so everybody's always hungry. And so I'm making this cuisine and I'm thinking, you know, are they going to have enough to eat? So I'm making all these different things, and we were stuffed, you know, really quickly. But we weren't stuffed like you get stuffed with regular food. It was this just enjoyable satisfaction and this energy to it. I was amazed.
Well, that's the thing. It's fun on so many levels. I mean, it's colorful and vibrant. It's light enough. But yeah, it's instant energy into your body and your digestive system and how you sleep and how your brain works. And it works on every level. And it also, the food is just so flavorful. You know, that's the biggest thing for me, is just how much flavor plant-based food has when it's not, you know, processed and cooked down too much. So there are multiple things about it that are just beautiful.
Tell me a little bit about the aspect of soaking and then dehydrating, what that adds to the nutrients.
Well, nuts have nuts with skins have enzyme inhibitors, or legumes or chickpeas are less digestible unless they have been activated. And so the soaking process will activate their digestive enzymes and a lot of the nutritional value. And that's really essential, I think, for me. Like for today, for lunch, I had sprouted hummus dish, which you serve at the restaurant. And it's great because, you know, hummus always tastes great. But if you just take chickpeas out of a can and eat a big bowl of hummus, you're going to, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable in your stomach after an hour. And that's not the most exciting thing to talk about as a chef, but it's really important because we don't cook for people to just feel good when they're eating the food. I want them to feel good an hour later or 2 hours later. And that is a much deeper connection to your lifestyle there. So that's just one of the many things. Fortunately, there aren't too many rules and scientific things that you need to know, but that is one, sort of, you know, nuts to be more digestible for them to be activated. Nuts with skins primarily.
And as far as the beans or legumes, you sprout lentils, you sprout chickpeas, mung beans.
Yeah, all beans and legumes and nuts. I mean, the beauty is here in California, we're so lucky. We have sprouted all different types of sprouts at the farmers market. Sprouted black lentils, sprouted red lentils, chickpeas, wheat berries. It's just amazing. So we don't even have to do it at home in California. And I think even stores like Whole Foods now are starting to sell, a lot of health food stores are starting to sell the sprouted sprouted grains and sprouted legumes and nuts. So not so much nuts, and the nuts are pretty easy, you can just soak them.
Well, I've seen the sprouted lentils in a bag. Does that mean that you don't have to, you just soak them afterwards? Or is that a different, you know, is that just, I wasn't sure that you could just eat those. You actually can use them as is, or do you have to cook them like you would regular lentils? Is that different?
You can, but I still cook them. I mean, you could eat them as is, but for me, it's I'd rather cook them. The beauty is you don't have to cook them for as long. They cook, like I had sprouted lentils last night for dinner. Mm-hmm. I cooked them for about 4 minutes.
I see.
And that seemed to be a good amount. So that's my recommendation. You can eat them raw, but not really, you know, it's not the most pleasant thing to do. I do believe in being practical.
Yeah. And now also, you know, looking into some of the mushroom dishes, there's an enzyme in mushrooms, the hydrazines, that, you know, yes, maybe is a little bit toxic. And you, most of your mushroom dishes, you marinate in vinegar. And is that the reason, is to kind of get the toxins to settle out, or?
It does break that down a little bit. We just find that I have to kind of walk on a fine line, because I am a chef. I don't pretend to be a nutritionist or a scientist. We do have nutritionists on staff, and obviously we have access to a lot of research. We run nutrition programs, but our restaurant chefs are so busy feeding, you know, hundreds of people every week that they don't always have time to educate themselves. So we have to really go on how we feel, how our guests feel. And we have found that they feel much more digestible and pleasant if they're broken down through either marination or dehydration or fermentation. Pickled, we love pickling things, which is just, you know, incredible on so many levels.
Yeah, I did the king oyster mushroom, and I marinated it, then dehydrated it, and that was amazing. I couldn't believe it. It really did taste like I had just sauteed mushrooms.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm having a great time. You know, it's kind of what can I do next? And again, you know, it just comes back to the point where it's like, okay, I want to do this recipe. And if I don't read all the way through, then it's like, oh man, I have to, you know, do this or that. So how's, you know, do you have any suggestions for, you know, maybe getting the kitchen organized, you know, if you're going to do this on, you know, I heard you say, you know, talk about that while you at home, maybe you do something simple, but you have your restaurant for dinner and things. So how's the person that wants to do this at home on a regular basis kind of get themselves organized to get up to speed?
Well, I think at home in the beginning, like I said, keep it really simple. Make sure you're getting some good high quality fats. I can talk about how I eat at home, because I'm really busy. And even though my restaurants have all this beautiful food, I work 8 or 9 hours a week. And I focus, first of all, one big tip is a lot of liquids. Making really good, hearty green smoothies, for example, in the morning. It's a way to get so much caloric density and nutrition and calories and energy into, you know, a big beaker full of delicious green smoothie. So starting with that, and then having staples around the house. Like, I always have sauerkraut, and I always have some kind of sprouted crackers, and I always have avocados and tomatoes and almond butter and things like that that I can really make snacks on the spur of the moment at any time. And, you know, on a more elevated level, I usually have like tree nut cheeses in my refrigerator, but a lot of different things that I can make quick meals from, and great greens all the time, whether it's kale or baby spinach. So I'm able to, and a variety of sea vegetables. So having these staples makes it really easy, and also things that are in season. So it's springtime now. I've got strawberries in my refrigerator. I've got asparagus, and I can just make something on the spur of the moment. And I would just encourage people not to overthink it. But once or twice a week, try a dish that's a little more gourmet, like a raw lasagna or some spiralized noodles with pesto. And I think the confidence that comes from doing that, and also the enjoyment you get out of sharing that with people, it's really pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I've had, you know, a lot of fun. I have a backyard garden and herbs, and you know, I'm running back and forth to get, you know, the ingredients. And, you know, I actually have had quite a bit of fun. I kind of grew up as, I did photography as a kid and played with, you know, photography chemicals. And then I was a chemistry major, and I dabbled into winemaking, and now this, you know. So I think I just kind of like to dabble into making things to some degree, but I have enjoyed it. And I think that, you know, again, I felt so amazing after eating this way. I wanted to share it with my class, but I also, you know, I walk a fine line as far as not scaring people away.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, start with dessert is a good way to not scare people away, because healthy plant-based desserts, vegan desserts, are so delicious. Giving that to somebody, you know, as a first thing is like, that really opens doors. I think desserts kind of bring peace treaties to every conversation.
Yeah, that's it. I have actually in the dehydrator as we speak, I have the blueberry granola bars going. So, and
oh, nice.
Yeah, so I've a little taste of those on transfer to the sheets. It's like, I can't wait till that's finished. It is a little bit like making wine, though. You can't get to it right away. You have to be patient. So, but well, let's go on back to the nuts. You know, there's a lot of that seems to be the controversy in this whole health plant-based movement a little bit. You have a Dr. Esselstyn, who has done a lot of work on reversing heart disease and, again, has very sick patients that he has avoided, certainly all processed oils, but he has, you know, avoid most nuts and avocados almost completely. And then you have Dr. Furman, who, you know, goes along more with some of the mainstream science out there that, you know, there hasn't been any studies showing that nuts are bad for you, obviously. And to the contrary, they help control diabetes. There's some that help, some studies that show some weight loss with eating nuts. And of course, the Seventh-day Adventists live longer, those that ate nuts versus didn't. But then you have this third population that this overweight, you know, our standard American diet people that are overweight, and when you say they can eat nuts, they typically, it's the Costco big, you know, gallon jar of nuts, and they're going to snack on them like, you know, instead of potato chips. So speak to me a little bit about, you know, how you incorporate nuts in the plant-based desserts and the plant-based, some of these plant-based meals. They're filling, yet you're not using a tremendous amount, and it's more in a healthful way.
Well, yeah, it is about balance, and, you know, that's why we have recipes that are simple, and that's why we started our culinary schools, because I found that, yes, we could feed people, but for them to be able to make it themselves, they really needed to educate themselves. And so the reality is that there is a lot involved. That I don't want to make it sound more complicated than it is, because there are a lot of resources out there. But for anybody who wants to eat this way all the time, I really do think they should take a class or at least read some really good books, because it's about finding balance and realizing that, you know, it's so common when people get on a raw food diet, for example, they'll just fill up on ice cream and cookies, you know, well, it's raw food and it's vegan, so it must be healthy. But the reality is you need a lot of greens in your diet and a lot of fresh fruits in your diet and some good fats, but balanced amounts of fats. I tend to get more of my good fat from avocados than I do from nuts. But the most important thing anybody can ever do is try to learn how to listen to their body. Because some people don't do well with a lot of fat. I do well with high fat. Some people don't. It depends on how active they are, what their body makeup is. But, you know, really start by listening to your body. Start to educate yourself a little bit. And you know, ideally take a couple classes. And they're pretty much everywhere around the world. There are raw food classes these days.
And you're offering some of them. So tell me, anyone can take your culinary classes? Or do you need to have some chef training as a background?
No, we have culinary classes for all levels. We have classes all over the world, in Miami, Maine, in Thailand, online, and in Venice, California. I mean, literally everywhere.
And so you take people kind of from the beginning and walk them through and get them going.
Absolutely. We start with knife skills and hygiene and, you know, basically teach them about all the equipment that's required to make this kind of food and show them how to use the equipment and what the ingredients look like and how they're handled. And then we get into recipes so that they can actually apply what they're learning to practical exercises.
You know, you've done remarkable things, you know, starting out with restaurants and then obviously now you're evolving into educating everyone, you know, from the chef to the layperson on the arts of raw food cuisine. And I, you know, I also understand, you know, and I heard your TEDx talk, which is wonderful. You're very much interested in taking this mainstream to hospitals, schools, educating people. There's, you know, it's such a sad thing when I see kids that are overweight and obese and that don't know where their food come from. What's your vision for getting, you know, more of learning where your food comes from out into the mainstream?
Well, we've worked really hard for the last 7 years to perfect our curriculum. And there are a few ways we want to, one of the reasons I wanted to build a big company is so that we could have the infrastructure that could create programs for colleges or schools, or create food concepts, could be on a college campus. We're trying to work with larger corporations to develop corporate dining programs for their companies so that people can be more productive and feel better while they're at work, and the cost of healthcare will go down for those companies. And we're having conversations preliminarily with certain hospitals. So I've always said, you know, we're starting our journey on the high end, doing this really pretty fancy food, and that's the way to show people what the potential is. But the end game is for us to be able to deliver this to everybody. I mean, for me, one of my biggest goals is for plant-based education to be part of every student's upbringing in high school. I mean, if we can take the time to learn the capital of every state in our country, there's no reason we can't take a little bit of time to understand the impact of food on our body, especially as it impacts our life by as many as 20 years in terms of our lifespan and the quality of our life. So I think it's critical. And, you know, even starting to see it in hospitals. There's a hospital in Maine, ironically enough, where I'm from, in Portland, Maine. I forget the name. I think it's the Portland, Maine Medical. No, it's a medical school in Maine that is offering a class on plant-based nutrition in a traditional medical school. So I'm going to continue to work to make inroads to spread the word about, you know, spread the availability of programs like that.
It is, you know, I mean, I find, you know, I hit my head against the wall here in the town that I live in, and I'm the only plant-based physician. I've managed to get vegan items on my hospital menu, but you know, they're well hidden in the menu. So if, you know, it's not like a patient can look at the menu and it's like, oh, these are plant-based and I can go through it. So I kind of have to, you know, if I'm with my patient, I can help them, you know, select choices, and they're not great. But even, you know, my daughter is just completing a dietetics program at the university level. So she'll be sitting for her registered dietitian board at the end of next year. And, you know, the amount of dairy influence and meat industry influence, you know, the research dollars that go in from these institutions, she has lectures on, you know, just things that aren't so. And it's such an uphill battle to get your foot in the door with, you know, if we could just, you know, I look at patients and it's like, if we could just get them something green, you know, they would get better so much quicker than this brown food that we're serving them.
Absolutely. And they'll, you know, the people who are not sick are going to have more energy. And I mean, it's just, it really encompasses everything. I mean, and we're talking about nutrition, but it's also so great for the environment, and it's more sustainable. So it's just really meaningful on every level. And I think people are very quickly opening up to the benefits of this on all those levels.
Yeah, I enjoy hearing, you know, so there's some people that are taking, you know, kids and growing the food outside and then bringing it into the classroom and working with it. And then they see it in the cafeteria and they're not afraid of it, as opposed to, you know, there have been some programs where they just bring vegetables into the cafeteria and these kids have never seen them before and they're not going to try them because they're foreign. But once they've, you know, once they've had it in the class, they've participated in growing them, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, absolutely. That connection is really important.
Well, fantastic. So the Thailand school, you're actually developing somewhat of a health institute there, or a retreat as such?
In Thailand?
Yes.
Yeah, in Thailand we already have a couple of culinary classrooms there. We're launching a business under our wellness division called Inner Sanctuary, and it will be an experience travel business, which will incorporate week-long programs based on yoga or other types of movement, meditation, mindfulness, and plant-based meals at this beautiful property in Thailand, which will have a meditation room and a shop and a film studio to create online content, and a fitness room. It'll be practitioners, yoga, well-known yoga, and other movement practitioners from around the world coming to to Thailand and doing, you know, orchestrating these programs for groups of up to 30 people.
That sounds fantastic. Well, I applaud your dedication to following your passion. I saw at one point you mentioned in one of your books you'd read Diet for a New America by John Robbins as well. And it's a little bit like his path, you know, from the ice cream industry to, you know, healthy eating and social awareness.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was actually what got me into exploring, you know, a vegan diet, and then, you know, became, you know, it evolved. But his book is what enlightened me. I grew up in West Virginia, and, you know, the traditional standard American diet, West Virginia style, which meant a lot of gravy and a lot of lard, and you know, went kind of cold, kind of did the cold turkey, you know, flipped over, but my family didn't. I went from, you know, that kind of lifestyle to, okay, I'm going to do raw right up front, and family didn't follow and kind of fell on my face a little bit, but then, you know, bounced back and did the plant-based thing and now have evolved. You know, again, I applaud your efforts. Do you, you know, it's great that you're, so many offerings. Now you also have a new restaurant in New York City.
We do. It's called Double Zero and Co. It's a plant-based pizza restaurant. It basically, we have a wood burning oven at 700 degrees. We make our pizza with all Double Zero finely ground organic flour and heirloom flour. The toppings are seasonal vegetables and tomato purees and really just amazing pestos and tree nut-based cheeses. We have small plates, which are all vegan, plant-based desserts, mostly vegan ice cream, and organic and biodynamic wine. And it's in the East Village, cozy little place, and it's really done well since it opened. It's been a very big success. We're really grateful for it.
Yeah, that sounds like a place I'd like to visit. Now, you again, in your restaurants, you do some wine pairing as well. So the, you know, the person that likes wine, they don't have to give that up with a raw diet.
No, and I'm actually I'm a wine lover myself. I think some things in moderation are really healthy. I personally have always loved wine and the European culture. I like the way it really assists with the flavor of the food and the ceremonial aspect of it. It is a fermented product. I think it has a lot of positive benefits for most people if used properly. It's a big part of what we do. Every single one of our restaurants has a wine program.
Yeah, that sounded very interesting. I do enjoy wine and adding it to the cuisine, and I found that it pairs very nicely with the raw.
Absolutely.
Cuisine. All right, fantastic. So you're eating a little bit of cooked now that you're not, do you do 100% raw, or do you seasonal raw, or do you mix it up a little bit personally?
I don't really keep track of percentages. The warmer the climate I'm in, the more raw I do. When I'm in Thailand, I eat pretty much all raw. When I'm in Miami, pretty much all raw. When I'm in California, where the cooler nights, sometimes I'll have warmer food at night. I guess, you know, if I had to guess, it would be 70-80% raw. Because all my breakfasts and my smoothies are raw, and I drink a lot of juices and tons of salads and avocados and tomatoes. So, you know, but then I have a little bit of cooked food here and there.
Yeah, I think the balance can be good. You know, sometimes. And then some of your dishes, the little bit of dehydration just to warm things up makes them nice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That works too.
Very good. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking time to speak with me. Where can people follow you, or what book would you recommend? You're just coming out with a new book too, right? Though, like a starter book, right? Is that on pre-order?
I have. We're working on a book called The 90-Day Raw Food Diet, which will help people adopt a raw food diet in a way that they can really feel a transformation taking place in the first 2 or 3 months. It's really a book to help people get started, because that's the hardest period. A lot of people will give up after a week or two because it's just too, you know, everybody has a busy life and doesn't always have the time to do research for every meal. So this is really meant to be a one-stop guide to assisting with that.
Great. So that'll be a good place to start.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. I recommend, like I said, I have two of your books. I plan to look through more of them. They're all very interesting. They're very well laid out. I could follow them. Things are turning out the way they're supposed to. People like the way they taste. They're filling. They're certainly energetic. You know, we ate the beet ravioli, went for a long bike ride the next day, felt wonderful. I really do appreciate all your work. It's nice to have someone in the, gourmet cuisine arena that is not full of salt, sugar, and butter. A lot of my patients and a lot of people, it's social, eating is social, and they want to be able to go and have a nice meal and go out with friends and enjoy themselves, but eat healthy. And it's such a challenge, there's especially, where I am, it's the traditional seafood restaurants and so forth. So it's very difficult. So, the more people that you can educate to get these restaurants out there and the more awareness that we get, the better.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a fun career, and we're really happy and grateful to be in the position of being able to share it with so many people because of technology and the growing interest and just, the platform we have.
Well, I hope to be able to visit one of your restaurants someday. I guess Miami one will be the closest stop for starters, and then I try to get to California because of the wines fairly frequently, so we'll have to swing down that way to hit that one as well.
Oh, please let me know when you do.
All right, I would love it. And who knows, maybe I'll get to that call. I've spoken to your culinary teacher, so hopefully that'll be in my future as well, so I can, make a presentation that would make you proud someday.
Well, thank you so much. I'm sure it will. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Matthew Kenny. I certainly did. He's a great visionary, and he walks the walk. He's dedicated to his passion of healthy eating, but in a beautiful style. Check out his TEDx talk. You can find him, just Google his name, and certainly check out his website. His TEDx talk is on his website as well, and I'll leave that in the show notes. I think it's one of the favorite comments that I had. If you look at him, he's a very fit-looking guy, not your typical chef. And, he makes a comment, never trust a skinny chef. And I had a patient tell me that one time, after she was having her heart attack, and I was talking to her about changing her diet. So it struck me as pretty funny. The books that I've been looking at of his and doing some of his recipes are Everyday Raw and Everyday Raw Express and Raw Food Real World. Like I said, I've made several of the, I made the lasagna, I've made the beet ravioli, I've done the berry granola, I've done the raw carrot soup. So, and they've all turned out good. His instructions on his recipes are spot on and really walk you through it. So I really like that. You just have to read them first so you know what you need. It's not like you can just kind of go to your closet and get things. Some things have to be prepared in advance. So it's helpful to go through the recipe and read it a couple times. So anyway, well, I hope you enjoyed that. If you have any questions for me, I know this may have brought up a little bit of confusion about, the nuts and seeds thing. Again, I think you made a very good point that you need to assess your body type and what your goals are. If you're a thin, active person, then the nuts and seeds will fit, really good into your diet. If you're struggling with your weight, then you're better off going more towards the fruits and vegetables and smoothies and soups that he has. So, you know, and again, if you have any concerns about your cholesterol, I encourage you to get your cholesterol checked. When you do add some more nuts and seeds to your diet, let me know. I'm very anxious to hear from anybody that's going to try this. You can always reach me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. And, of course, my website is drdulaney.com. I've also managed to link my newsletter to the website now so that you can get a hold of those. If you haven't got the website, and if you'd like the newsletter, please sign up. Again, our nutrition class is going to start in the third week of May, our next six-week session. So I'm looking forward to that. Our graduation session is this week, so we always finish it off with a dessert and a special dish and a little quiz at the end to have some fun. If I can figure out, maybe I'll get some of that recorded so that I can share with you. And as I sit here finishing it up with accompanied by my two dogs, I just will make a suggestion that when you're cutting up all these vegetables, the dogs really like the ends of the zucchini. They like the core of the cabbage and the cauliflower and some of the stems of the broccoli that you're not using. So, and the carrots. So save them for the dogs and incorporate that into their food. There was a study published that, a dog that eats a cup of raw vegetables a day, actually it increases their lifespan. So I'd encourage you to do that. Just start out by little bits, find out what they like. And they gradually, I've had a couple dogs that really like vegetables and one that didn't like them at all, but they gradually learn to like them as well. Just like people, their taste buds change. And it's so much safer as far as snack food goes for dogs to give them vegetables as opposed to these processed bones and processed, they have just all kinds of terrible things in them. I was out running this morning and, I felt bad. I saw this dog walking this I saw a man walking a dachshund, and the dachshund was just almost as round as he was long. And it's so sad that we love our animals and we give them these treats, and some of the food is just really bad. So if you can incorporate some vegetables, it helps out your pooches as well. So enjoy your weekend. Again, if you have any questions, please email me. And go outside, get some sunlight, see where your vegetables come in, visit a farmer's market, buy a few organic things, experiment with a new recipe, share it with friends, and I'll see you later.